open your Bible tonight to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. While you're kind of getting your scripture there, let me make a few comments and just say, Lisa, it's always good to have you on these Sunday nights. She's a music director at a church over not far from Sandy Cross, between here and there, and a great church over there. So we're glad to have her here tonight. She's a friend for many years. Sister Darnell, are you in the house? I just want to know, how did the youth meeting go tonight? Did everything go good tonight? All right. they were kind of quiet tonight. What'd you do? Feed them some chocolate or something, or something to calm them down? Youth, was it all right tonight, guys? Was everything good? Okay. All righty. Well, why don't y'all ask them after the service here? You know, I put them on the spot. Amen. But we appreciate Doug and Vera and the joiners and Sister Darnell, Sister Vera for stepping up. And I got my two fellas tonight to roll out the trash. Amen. Pastor, I believe we're going to make it. Amen. God's good. Amen. You know, you wouldn't think of rolling out the trash as a ministry, would you? I was reading a book one time. I don't know if you ever heard of a man named Jack Co. Anybody ever heard of Jack? He was a powerful evangelist in the 50s. He had greater revivals and tent meetings than Oral Roberts. This man was Oral Roberts on steroids. And I was reading one time where, when he was a young man, he felt called to preach. He knew the Lord had called him to preach. And so he went to a little church of God and he wanted to preach. And it was a little church of God out in Oklahoma somewhere. And the pastor said, son, I don't need a preacher. I'm the preacher here. I don't need a preacher. But I need somebody to clean the bathroom. And Brother Coe said, I wasn't about to do that. I'm called to preach. And he turned around and walked out. And the Lord stopped him and said, go back and do what that man tells you to do. He said, I went back and I cleaned the bathroom, and he said that man was in the Marines or the Army or something, and nobody could find a spot like that man could find a spot. He said, but I cleaned those bathrooms. I took out the trash, and said, and then he let me teach one little Sunday school class. And once I taught the Sunday school class and did that, then he let me do a little bit of the youth. And before you know it, he became the pastor of the church. And later on, he became a national evangelist. Do not despise the small task and the assignments from the Lord. Praise God, it's still, as someone told me this morning, just picking up a towel and serving and washing the saints' feet. I'll tell you, when you have that spirit, God can bless and God can move and God will promote in his time. We're not looking for superstars. Amen. We've already got a superstar. His name is Jesus. I want somebody just to lift your hand and praise him. There's a praise in the house tonight. The Lion of Praise, God. We bless you tonight. We come tonight. There's healing power at Westmoreland Church, God. Not only for this house, but for the nations, God. Thank you, Lord, for touching our pastor and our others this morning. Those who need a job, Brother Lazaro. Oh, God, we believe, God, that you're going to... So, Sister Darnell, oh, God, is going to get the job because we're blessed and highly favored of God. Somebody say, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, it is written. If you're going to buy a car from somebody, you better have something in writing. Amen. It's called a title. Amen. Everything. People say, well, we're living together and we're not going to get married, maybe later down the road. After all, what is marriage? It's just a piece of paper is what they say. And I kindly reply, well, so is the Constitution of the United States. So is the Declaration of Independence. So is the Word of God. There's something about a piece of paper that can change your life. It is written. I wish somebody would say amen tonight. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I don't normally read 11 verses. I was at a camp meeting the other night with Roger Leggett, and he read about 30 verses in front of the camp meeting, but he preached, praise God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He was human. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, I just want to give you a little word picture right there. here he is. He's fasted 40 days. And the devil says, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And what I picture in my mind is Jesus hungry. We all want to know what it's like to be hungry. We really don't know what it's like to be hungry, but we know what hungry is. And I can just see the devil sliding up to him saying, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, yeah. See that rock over there? I do. Don't it look just like a biscuit from Cracker Barrel? Jesus, don't you want to make that bread into a biscuit from Cracker Barrel? You know, that's how the devil comes. He kind of slides. Are y'all with me here tonight? But, verse 4, he answered and said, what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. That word proceedeth means he's still talking to us today. That's proceeding out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now he starts pulling out the scripture. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. But Jesus, verse 7, said, what is it? It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, show him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them, and said, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then, verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan. What is it? For thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Can we just take a moment and worship the Lord our God? Father, we worship you tonight. We claim what is written in the Word. This is our Bible. We have what it says we have. We can do what it says we can do. Oh God, anoint your servant to preach the Word with might and power tonight. Let chains be broken. Lord, let people be called to the ministry. Father, I pray, Lord, that this will be a destiny changing moment and that we will never forget this night, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody, it is written. Amen. Praise God. Now give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. A hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. The pastor's been talking about healing this morning and over the next few weeks. And I want to talk to you tonight about it is written. You see, years ago, the University of Florida was starting to do something they don't normally do, and that is lose football games. And they were getting defeated in just about every game. Now, this was not an ordinary team. The University of Florida were champions. They were filled with star athletes. Every other season, they were a formidable foe. Everything was as it should be with this problem. For some reason, they were getting defeated. In game after game, they did some research. They thought, what is going on here? We've got it all together. Come to find out, someone had hacked their internet account and got and stole their playbook. And so that person made all of their secrets, all of their strategies available to every opposing team so that when the opposing team came in, they already knew what to do. They already knew what plays were coming. They already had a heads up. And so therefore, the opposing team, though a more powerful foe, were actually victorious because they had the playbook. I'm about to have church here tonight. Amen. You see, let me tell you something, that the Bible is the, and this is, ooh, this is football season. I've already watched game number one. We got a W for D. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened this afternoon, and don't you dare tell me till I get home and watch it on my DVR, but I believe we're going to have number two from the Broncos. I had to throw it in. Pastor, forgive me. Amen. But I want you to know that the Christian, this is the playbook. Amen. And this is not a secret. You don't have to get on the internet and enter a passcode. You don't need somebody to say, well, I think this is what it says. No, you can can get in that book and you can look the devil in the eye and you can say when the doctor comes back with a bad report, you can defeat the enemy. You can bring home the trophy. You can assure God's glory by just simply saying, it is written. Can you stand up tonight and shout it before I start preaching? Come on, stand up and take your Bible and say, it is written. It is written. I'm blessed and highly favored. It is written that I'm on the mountain and I'm going through the valley and God is going to bless. Somebody shout, it. Amen. You may be seated. High five somebody and tell them you got the playbook tonight. Amen. Amen. Glory. You see, just a few weeks they had a national fight of two great champions. And people paid millions of dollars to get front row seats. And even more millions paid, no telling how much, to watch pay per view. But in our text tonight, we have the fight of all the ages. We had in one corner the sinister minister called Satan. And in the other corner, we had the sovereign Lord of life. And I want you to understand something here tonight. When we read this passage, Jesus was not fighting for himself. Satan and Jesus was hungry. Satan was tempting him. And they're in that fight. But I want you to understand something. Jesus wasn't fighting for himself. There was no question he was going to win that battle. He had already won that battle. I mean, give me a break here. This is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. All power is given to him. All he had to do is go, and the devil was gone. Are you with me? He wasn't fighting for himself. Let me tell you what he was fighting for. He was fighting for us. He was fighting to show us what it will take when you're in the testing and the trials of your life. So what was the secret? You see, for Jesus, it was no contest. But what was the secret? In the heat of the battle, what was the lesson that Jesus wanted us to know when we are in the battles of life? And can I ask you tonight, don't you understand that we're often in battles in life? Don't you understand that we're in battles against the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, on our jobs, in our homes? Satan is trying to fight our marriages. He's trying to fight our finances. He's trying to fight our country. He's tearing our president, who's trying to do so many good. This next Supreme Court appointee is on the line, and we're on the verge of reversing that horrible, abominable law called Roe versus Wade that is a blight upon the fabric of this Christian nation, and we're on the verge, and it's a fight. But let me tell you something tonight. What wins the battle? What wins the victory? It's not what Dr. Phil says. It's not what some psychiatrist said. It's not dialing a 1-800 number. I'll tell you what makes the difference. Open the book and say, it is written. Somebody shout amen tonight. It is written. Amen. The Bible is the fine print contract for your blessing, for your prosperity, for your healing, for your delivering. No matter what decisions you make, no matter what valleys you find yourself, no matter what devils you fight, you can say like Jesus, it is written. Let me give you a few things tonight to amplify, because there's so many things that's written. There's 30,000 promises, but let me just amplify about 5 or 6 things tonight that I believe is for a moment and for this service tonight. Number one, I believe it is written over and over that he will heal my body. Now, if you're not sick, you yawned at that one, but you wait. Amen. You wait, because sickness probably will come. But let me tell you, when sickness comes, and there's a lot of sickness, but the Bible says it is written in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. What? By whose stripes you were healed. Somebody say, it is written. I were healed. I was healed. Amen. I was healed. You know what that means? The stripes on his body, the whip of the cat of nine tails. When Jesus was in his bare back and they went whack And they did it over and over. Some of you Bible scholars can tell me exactly how many times they whipped him. And every stripe, I believe stripe number one was for heart disease. Strike number two was for cancer. Strike number three was for the influenza. Strike number four could have been for the common cold. Strike number five could have been for the migraine headache. Strike number six could have been for fibromyalgia. Strike number seven could have been for whatever sickness. I'm here to tell you, when sickness attacks your body, don't just sit there. Stand up and say, it is written, with his stripes I am healed. Somebody giving hallelujah praise here tonight. Somebody say amen. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. It says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord. The pastor is going to preach that Wednesday night. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. It is written, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Let's go to it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Turn around and tell somebody, it's written. Amen. Amen. It is written. So when the devil attacks, when the doctor says, I can't do anything else, when the x-ray comes back positive or disturbing, don't fear, but simply say, it is written that the Lord healeth all my diseases. Now let me throw this out to you. If you have high blood pressure, don't go around eating barbecue every day and saying, it is written, the Lord is my healer, okay? There are some things we've got to take responsibility on. And I'm feeling mighty under conviction because I went to Cracker Barrel today and had pancakes, amen. So, and I'm probably going back after church tonight and get some vegetables, amen. Amen. But it is written. Brother Tom, how you doing, my brother? Come on up here. We gotta testify. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Sister Kathy, you're up here. Come on. Come on. I'm talking about Kathy Lou. You're sitting there. Yes, Kathy Lou. Yeah, come on up here. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! About to have church tonight, I'm telling you. I feel, Brother Elam, come on up here, brother. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Ha, ha. Well, glory, somebody. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hey, did you say something about the Lord healing you the other day?
Yes, he did.
You want to share? Now, I'm going to give you the microphone because you're anointed in here. You start to take it over. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead.
I have been suffering with fungus in my lungs. They kept treating me for pneumonia, and I wasn't getting any better. And finally, they did a bronchoscopy, and they said, you got mold in your lungs.
Mold.
And they couldn't find out a way to treat it. So I just kept going back and back and taking antibiotics and steroids and antibiotics and steroids for about 5 months. And then I went the other day and I said, Jerry, come in here. And on Sunday, and
come on,
went to the altar, and he asked Billy to lay his hands on me, and we prayed. And I went to the doctor the next day, no mold.
No mold.
No mold. No mold. God healed me in an instant. If he can do it for me, he can do it for the rest of you.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. It is written. I said it is written. You mind sharing?
No.
Amen. Just tell us about the healing the Lord did for you. We know you had surgery, but how are you doing right now?
Blessed and highly favored. Have really had no symptoms. Good surgeon. I recommend Rex Hospital very much. They knew what they were doing and took good care of me. My wife took care of me.
Yeah.
And have just breezed through all of it. Doc said to walk. They took out part of the colon. Gets things moving again. And I was out cruising the hall, and people were coming out of the rooms asking me, how are you doing this? Why? So I got the Lord. And, so we did a lot of witnessing while we were there. It's been easy.
And you're healed.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what he, all he went through, that's a miracle. Amen. Praise God. This brother had heart issues, and I know God uses the medical doctors. I did. When you see your doctor, just say, yeah. If, but it is written, I'm going to be healed. Amen. And, how you doing, brother?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen. You want that microphone?
I do. Hallelujah. Lord told me a long time ago, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall happen to you. Anything that happens to you, he's going to take care of it.
Amen.
So if you put your faith in him like the lepers did,
yes,
they went their way and they were healed. And I went my way and God healed me.
Amen. Well, somebody give the Lord. It is written. It is written. How many of you need a healing right now? I want you to stand up right now, because I'm going to stop right in this message and then I'm going to move on to the other part. But Father, in the name of Jesus, you see all these that are standing up. Lord, I pray even for over my body and for everybody, high blood pressure, cholesterol. I'm believing God for whatever issues, fibromyalgia, migraine, headache, Lord, whatever. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, it is written. We still believe in old fashioned healing. Thank you for insurance. Thank you for medical care. Thank you for doctors. But right now, God, I pray, Lord, that you would sweep over this congregation and every sick body will be healed. And we'll say, look what the Lord has done. Now give him a hand of praise, because church, it, say it with me, it is written. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Number two, it is written. He will save my loved ones. People need to be saved. People need Jesus. Please remember, have a burden for your family. I have a burden for my young coworkers where I work at during the week. I have a burden for my neighbors. I go to the Walmart and I'll stand in line and I'll feel something, say, why don't you ask them? Why don't you talk to them? Most of the time I don't. And forgive me, Lord, because we're all a little bit of, you know, but the burden is there. And you've got to accept the fact that if my loved one doesn't know the Lord, they're in grave danger. We've had a tragic death in our church, of instant death of three people. 1 minute living, talking, the next minute before God. I urge you tonight, if you have not fully given your life to Jesus, fully turned from your sins, ask God to forgive you. I know you're a good person, but part of your not being good is thinking that you're really all that good when you're not. Did you catch that? You know, first, the worst form of human badness is human goodness. Because many of us think we're too good. You know, I'm okay. I volunteer at the fire department. I might give a dollar or two for Hurricane Harvey. And so, God, what's wrong with me? I can tell you what's wrong with all of us. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One sin before a holy God. In his holiness, he cannot allow it to enter, because he is complete justice. But God is a remedy. He's paid the penalty to satisfy his righteous and just demand, so that through the gift of Jesus Christ, I have received not, I didn't say, well, I'm going to start going to church and I'll make it to heaven. No, I got saved and became on my way to heaven. Then I went to church. Amen. I wasn't going to church like I should. But the point is this, people need to be saved. People need, that's why we teach young people, Sister Darnell, and that's why we're praying about these van ministries. That's why we roll out the trash and pull up the stakes and put up the banners. That's why we play and sing. It's to keep people from dying and going to hell, to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will save you and forgive you. Repent. Come to Jesus. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. There by faith I received my sight. And what's the rest of it, church? And now I am all the day. It is written that he wants to save the lost. For this purpose the Son of Man came, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might seek and save that are lost. Acts 16:31. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. When I got saved, my mother was not a Christian. My father was not a Christian. My sister was a baby. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. I invited them to church, They never come, I talked to them suddenly. I talked to them firmly. I did everything I could, and as time moved on, and I became the pastor here when this was Living Waters. For 8 years, I pastored here. I could probably count on two hands when my mother came. And my dad, actually, about the last 2 years I was here, he'd sit right about where Brother Lazaro is. And he'd come in, and he'd sit down and hear me preach. But he still never got saved. But I had a burden for him. I don't want my daddy to go to hell. I don't want my mother in the flames of hell. Are you hearing me tonight? Church, don't you go to sleep tonight. When I say go to sleep, I'm not talking about in the church service. I'm talking about don't be put to sleep. Man, we've got to get a burden for souls. We got to be disturbed. Sometimes I wake up and pray, God, open the eyes of my loved ones. And some of you've got children and I talked to Daddy. I said, Daddy, don't you want to get saved? And he'd say, no. I remember we were sitting at Cracker Barrel, one time. It was like 2002. It was rare. My mother, my father, and my sister, her husband wasn't with us. And my wife, Darnell, wasn't with me. And it was just us four. And I was, you know, we had a big plate of biscuit, blah, 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 blah. We were talking. And all of a sudden, I just got a burden for him. And I said, guys, I've talked to all three of you about getting saved. And I've been so kind and so nice. I said, but I'm gonna be very honest with you. If you die right now and you're not saved, you will go to a place called hell. Now hand me the biscuits, please. And I told them right over the biscuits, I said, let me tell you something, how terrible. Do you know how it would break my heart at your funeral if I've got a picture in my mind of you in the torments of hell? Why don't y'all get saved? You see, I tried the soft approach. I even tried the hard approach. I tried mostly the prayer approach. Amen. And then my daddy had to be rushed to the hospital and they were going to put him on a tube. He was having a lot of complications and they said, if you want to talk to your dad, and it really, we didn't really think anything was bad wrong. He'd had a mild heart attack. And so, mama was going to go down and talk to him before they put him on the ventilator because they would put him to sleep. And in a couple of days they would bring him back and, you know, things. But I stood outside and I waited for mama to get done because I was going to do business. Are y'all with me? Mama got out. I walked in by myself. I wanted privacy. I didn't want a nurse in there. I didn't want mom in there. I wanted, because I thought he would be okay, but never know. I said, Dad, you've had a heart attack. I said, you know, I believe the Lord is going to heal you, but isn't it time to give your life to Jesus? And I was expecting him to say no. And he looked at me and said, yes, son, it is. And I tell you what, I said, well, Daddy, do you want to pray the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord into your heart? You know it's time. He said, I do. He said, I do, son. Hey, dear Lord Jesus, come to my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins. Things are better. And the last thing I said, Daddy, things are different now. He said, they are different now. Last time I saw him, 40 days later, he was dead and gone. But I'm here to tell you, my dad is in heaven tonight. Hallelujah. Why? Because it is written. It is written. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is written. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. Amen. And about 2 years ago, my mom turned 60. Now, my mother attends here often. And she might be watching now on Facebook. I love you, mother. But that's being part of being related to the preacher. You get talked about. Amen. But my mom turned 60 about 2 years ago, and mother's a good person, but she's just, I'm concerned. And so I had a good talk with her. I said, Mom, you're turning 60. You're not getting any younger. Now, this guy, you got to tread lightly, guys, when you're talking to your mother, you know, that she's getting older. Amen. I said, Mom, you know, You never go to church, yet God has blessed you. Did you know we almost lost our entire family farm through bankruptcy after my daddy died? And I had to go from Kinston to Rocky Mount almost weekly. And we got a letter, and they were going to auction off our homestead. Where there's three houses that we have over in Rocky Mount, in the country, in Westmount. And so me and Mama drove up to the Nashville courthouse, and I needed to see who was going to buy our property. It was going to be auctioned to the public. And we waited at 3 o'clock, and I went up, and it was literally going to be at the steps of the courthouse. Literally, at the steps of the courthouse. They were going to have an auction. And I walked up there at 3 o'clock, and nobody was there. I'm looking to the left. I'm looking to the right. And about 3:07, some guy with messed up hair with a briefcase walks up, and he pulls out a piece of paper, and he starts reading. I mean, I don't know what he's saying. He's reading so fast. Indefinitely postponed, blah, 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 blah. I said, excuse me. Yeah, and he was getting ready to leave. I said, what was this all about? Well, that was that property. The bank decided they are not going to auction it off. They're going to refinance it, and they're going to let the family keep it. I walked back to my car. I said, Mama, you just saw God step down and rescue our house. And about 2 years later, she got married to a man retired from the Air Force, working at Firestone. He just retired. And I'm here to tell you, things are looking good. As good as they've been in 30 years. Why? Because it is written. Mama, by the way, does come to church more than she used to. And I believe she's gotten saved. Praise God, it is written that God will save my loved ones. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. I'm not going to let my family go to hell. Jeremiah 31:15. Now I know you raised your son to be the next Billy Graham. I know you did. You had brought him to Sunday school. You brought him to VBS. I mean, you pictured him with the wavy hair, with the clean cut and with the suit and tie. And one day my son's going to be Billy Graham. But to be honest, he turned out to be more like Willie Nelson. Amen. Are you with me? But how many of you know God still loves the Willie Nelsons as well as the Billy Grahams? I've got some uncles that look like Willie Nelson. And I've got an uncle that looks like Kenny Rogers. Amen. Uncle Charles that you saw here, which is my daddy's brother. And I don't know my Uncle Charles' spiritual state. I think I know. By your fruit, you know. You know, they're really not in the church like they should be. No, that's the fruit. Amen. So until I see Uncle Charles sitting in church every Sunday, unless he's sick or unless he's on vacation, until I see my mother at church every Sunday, unless she's sick or on vacation, and she has migraines, and Pastor, you prayed for her last time, and I know it's the devil trying to keep her back. Until I see my family opening their Bibles and reading the scriptures and having daily devotions, and not only that, but maybe even starting to invite others, because if you're saved, you need to get other people saved. Until I see my family cross into the line of discipleship, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be saying, it is written, Lord, that you're going to save my family. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for who? She refused to be comforted because they were not. She refused to lay down the burden. She wept. She made it seriously. Moms and dads, some of you are listening, some of you are in this service tonight. Moms and dads, take spiritual things very seriously. Take it. It's very important when those children are young to get in the absolute habit of being in church and at home of reading the scriptures. You may not be perfect. You may not understand all of the theological things, but children don't need to know what the theophany is that Brother Jerry mentioned. I can't even pronounce it. All children need to know is that mom and dad instilled into me a love for God and a love for church. And I promise you, brother and sister, that'll help a whole lot in making sure that when the time comes, they'll be right ready. And the Lord can I get a witness out here tonight? Don't lose a burden for your family. Invite them. Pray over them. Your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your nephews, your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters. Constantly, constantly be doing something to nudge them to church. Well, I've asked and they won't come. And And I've asked, keep on asking, glory to God, until you draw your last breath. In fact, I will keep asking until breath is out of my nostrils. And at my funeral, when there's no breath in my nostrils, I'm going to charge whoever preaches my funeral to not have a typical funeral. I'm going to tell them to do this. Preach hell hot and preach heaven real and tell the people in front of my casket that if you want to meet Ricky Nelms, glory to God, then you need to come to the cross and let Jesus save you. And in the sweet by and by, we shall meet by the river and God will bless for all eternity where there is no dying and there is no death. Preach it, love it, tell it, get excited about it. Don't be lukewarm. Be red hot. These are the last of the last days. Royal Rangers, teach it. Girls ministries, instruct it. Children's church workers, God bless you. Put up the stage and the puppets. Do the rocks like you did this morning. But tell those children and tell the world that Jesus saves. Turn around and tell somebody Jesus saves. Hallelujah. It is written. He'll heal my body. It is written he'll save my loved ones. It is written, Romans 8:28. And I'm going to come to a Sister Lisa, if you'll come on up. This is the type of sermon, Brother Jerry, that has no end. It's like a strip of sausage, link sausage. I'm just going to have to cut it and be done with it. Hallelujah. It's a piece of paper. It's written. And I'll let you know right when to start, Sister Lisa. Thank you. And maybe just a few more minutes. All right. Romans 8:28. Read it with me. Her name was Corrie Ten Boom. She has a book. She's dead and gone. Called The Hiding Place. Her family hid Jews in the Nazi tyranny of the 40s and 30s. Her family was discovered. Corrie and her sister were taken to a horrible Nazi concentration camp where they came down with head lice. Bad case of it. Corrie Ten Boom was a Christian. Her family was a Christian. That's why they hid the Jews. She said, "Oh God, how much more terrible can this be? My family separated from me. I'm in a concentration camp starving. God, you've allowed these things." They found out later that the Nazi soldiers would not rape the girls who had head lice. I know that's hard to talk about, but let me just tell you, I think we'd rather have head lice than that, right? Let me tell you, I don't know what you're facing, but I'm going to tell you, God can orchestrate things. Even what seems to be a curse, you may turn out 20 years from now and say, you know what? It turned out for a blessing anyway. Because it is written that all things, somebody say all things. Now all things are not good, but all things work together for good. Like Amy Carmichael, who got a burden, a young English girl. She had beautiful brown eyes and long brown hair, and there's a little book just came out about 4 years ago. I give it often to young girls who are graduating from high school. She never got married. She went to India and she protected the young girls. You see, in India, all of the young teenagers, many of them were allowed to be used for bad things. And she would rescue those girls. Well, the police came by and raided where Amy Carmichael was, and they were going to arrest the missionaries, torture some of them, kill some of them, or deport them. And the way they could find the American missionaries is because they would take a flashlight and look into their eyes. And if they had blue eyes, they knew they weren't Indian. Well, Amy Carmichael, all her life when she was a teenager, she's like, why don't I have blue eyes? She cried about it. Why don't I have blue eyes? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have, you know how teenage girls sometimes do? You know how teenage guys sometimes do? Come on. Y'all were teenagers at one time, I know. Amen. Y'all just know how teenagers are. But let me tell you, God gave her brown eyes. And when the police came by, they saw her brown eyes and they didn't arrest her. And she died in that land, helping scores and scores and scores. God works all things together for good. to them that love God. Just simply love God. I don't love Him perfectly. I love Him in a perfect desire. My desire is perfect, but my actions sometimes fall so far, so short. I want to love Him better. I want to serve Him better and love Him more. My prayer is simply that I may love Him more. Please understand that when you're going through things in life, all things, it is written. Say that. It is written. All things work together for the good to them that love God. If you don't get that car financed, that might have been a reason. Amen. If you don't get the house you were trying to get, that might have been a reason. You might not have known the neighbors that was getting ready to move next door. And if you've had bad neighbors before, you'll say amen to that. If something that job, Brother Lazaro, doesn't work out, don't. The job that you had didn't work out. Sister Darnell is now looking and praying for the next job. So any of you that own businesses, she can clean, she can cook, she can do anything. Amen. Brother Billy, she'll pick up furniture. Amen. Whatever it takes. Amen. Praise God. She can cook a donut. Hallelujah. She can eat a donut. Glory to God. Praise God. Sister Dorothy, she'll book. Sister Dorothy not here tonight. Tell Sister Dorothy she's looking a job. She can book air flights. Amen. All things work together for good. And we know God's got the right place, the right job in store for Darnell. Amen. He gives us the desires of our heart. Amen. God, His eye is on, and I just want to tell you that God loves His creation so much, and I'm cutting through some of this, but did you know that God attends the funerals of doves? Have you ever thought about that? You know, when a person dies, we attend their funeral because we love them. The Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground. There's a sparrow, a dove that has died, has fallen to the ground. And the Father is attending the funeral. How much more does He care when our dreams die and when our plans fail? And when our bodies eventually, when I come to our funeral and we're in the casket, oh, the Father is there. And even death itself, I know death is horrible and terrible. We've gone through it as a church family. But let me tell you something. There's coming a day when there is no more death. And there's coming a day when we'll look back and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, the sin, and the rest of it, I can't remember. But oh, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, even in life, even in death, even in all things. They work together for good. Somebody say amen tonight. It is written. It is written. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. It is written. It is written. He will heal my body. Say amen. It is written. He will save my loved ones. It is written that all things work together for my good. Throw up Philippians 4:19. For it is written, but my God shall supply all of my need according to your riches in glory. My God, it's written. When the light bill's due, the rent needs to be paid. When it seems like the country's going through bankruptcy, let me tell you, it's not Job Jireh. It's not Trump Jireh. It's Jehovah Jireh. Amen, somebody. Lift your hands tonight. He'll meet every need according to His riches. I've been young and now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. The young lions, Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not lack or want any good thing. Put up Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou go. Read it with me. Blessed shalt thou be when you come in. And blessed shalt thou be when you go out. Let me read another translation. The New Living Translation says this: wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be blessed. It is written, I am blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, I got to give you this one before we begin. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. I was about to forget it. Haggai. Westmore. Land. Well, we got the land, but I still believe that middle part. More. Brother Ricky, we're just a small church. Let me tell you something. I have no problem with a small church. But neither God nor His Son is glorified with small thinking. There's a million souls out there. Every seat tells us, get to work, get to work. Fill my house. Compel them to come. And it is written for Pastor Jerry and the vision, 20 years. We're celebrating our pastor's 20 years. Do you know that in itself is a miracle? Some pastors can't make it 20 months. I'm telling you. But pastor and church, the glory of the latter house shall be great. What do you mean? It is written. It is written. Charles Spurgeon said, and I'm done. Charles Spurgeon said, God's promises were never meant to be thrown aside as waste paper. He intended that they should be used. God's gold is not miser's money, but is meant to be traded. Nothing pleases our Lord better than to see His promises put in circulation. He loves to see His children bring them up to Him and say, Lord, do as Thou hast said. In other words, it is written. We glorify God when we plead His promises. Do you think that God will be any poorer for giving you the riches He has promised? When a Christian grasps a promise, if he do not take it to God, he dishonors Him. But when he hastens to the throne of grace and says, Lord, I have nothing to recommend me but this, it is written, then his desire shall be granted. Our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. I love that. Our heavenly banker. Y'all are mighty still and I'm about to bust. Amen. Never let the promises rust. Draw the word of promise out of its scabbard. Use it with holy violence. Think not that God will be troubled by your importunity, reminding Him of His promises. He loves to hear the loud outcry of needy souls. It is His delight to bestow favor. This is Charles Spurgeon of 1800 saying, blessed and highly favored. Amen. Listen, the sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. It is God's nature to keep His promises. Therefore, go at once to the throne with this and say to God, do as Thou hast said. What I want you to do tonight is come to the throne and say, Lord, do as it is written. Will you pray that simple prayer? Would you step out of your seat? Bring that job need, Brother Lazaro. Bring that family need. Bring that lost loved one. And just how great is our God. Oh, sing that tonight. Amen. I believe that's what you're playing. Amen. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. Lord, do as you have said. It is written tonight. It is written. If you need healing tonight. Oh, we say how great is our God. We bless you tonight. We praise you tonight. Come on and lift up your hands tonight. Worship Him. Oh, praise Him tonight. Oh, praise God. Just give her a little more volume over here. Amen. Hallelujah.
Is our God.
Oh, yes. Claim those promises. It is written. It is written. God will heal your body. Hallelujah, God. I lay hands on the man of God. Oh, God, it is written. It is written. It is written. Every need will be met. Every sickness will be reversed. God, for divine health and divine strength. Oh, God, for the pastor and the first lady. More miracles, more miracles, more miracles, more miracles. Somebody believe God for more miracles. It is written. It is written. Oh, God, help this young man and father, husband. Oh, God. Open the door. It is written, Lord, you will supply a home. Lord, more than enough. to pay the bills. Lord, as he tithes, as he gives, as he learns to trust you with the first, you will reverse every curse. Oh, it is written. It is written. Fill them with the Holy Spirit tonight, God. Give them a hunger for spiritual things. Oh, God, how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. Do not be discouraged. There are times you say, Lord, why have I gone through this? Is it something wrong with me? Did I do something not right? But God said, that is not thinking from me, saith the Lord. That is a lying spirit. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I number the hair on your head. I've forgiven every sin. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the past is over. And it's a new day. You keep moving forward. You keep growing forward. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Oh God, for this new season. I believe for the Beamans, it's a new season. They've been faithful in the tragedies of life. They fasted and prayed. And all that they've sown is a great harvest. Is a great harvest. Oh God, touch my brother tonight. Anoint them, Lord, in that ministry you've called them to tonight. Hallelujah.
Is our God.
Oh, sing with me.